Okay, so let me introduce the next very special talk, and that's like especially for me, as I'm actually chief sticker officer in the company, and I was bullied into designing the sticker. But yeah, so Gianluca will guide us into what OT platform is, and like if somebody listened to my talk, this is the platform that I butcher all the time and trying to use it, and Gianluca is actually the one who builds it. So please go ahead.
Hello everyone. I am the one who builds it, but there are people in the Zoom who actually fix it. So hi, my name is Gianluca. This is the talk about a practical introduction to ET platform, because I just wanted to give, where we can speak about the hardware and the theory as much. I just wanted to say this is how you get hands-on on the project, and this is how you can see what's wrong and see what you can fix and see what you can join. Because first of all, I think we need to start by saying what we're going to talk about. First of all, I believe not everyone here knows what ET platform is. And so we're going to define it. Then we're going to see how to actually get ET platform on your machine and run it and see what you have and what you can do. And then we're going to get from ET platform, just look up to what I found this and what I found it does and what we're up to. Okay, about me, this slide is becoming very static, nothing really changed. The only two things that have changed in the past year are number 3, because I joined an Echo, and number 5, because I had 0 free time to do personal project. Okay, so what is ET? The board that you see here is ETSOC1 board. It's the development board that we actually use. It is based on the former Esperanto ETSOC1, which is now part of Ineco, and we're planning to open source everything. The way to think about this chip, and I'm going to go later on, is essentially an accelerator based on circa 1,000 RISC-V cores, and it has incredibly low power. And as you can see there, I'll be more precise, you can actually have 1,088 RISC-V cores running about 300-800 megahertz. Despite that, heatsink is a bit optimist, it actually consumes low power. Right, so I'm going to describe quickly the hardware, so at least we know what we're talking about, and then go back to the software and how you can run it. Some people might have a sense of deja vu, as I used this slide today. So this is how a board looks like. When you see the board before, you will quickly notice that there's this big chip. On the heatsink, you find the LPDDR4 around. This is the PMIC, and that's on the top left is actually the FTDI. So what are they used for? So ETSOC1 is the big chip. FTDI is the one that gives you the UART to USB, so actually you can check or you can control when you have the physical card, the stuff. And PMIC is actually the guy who actually handles the power of the chip. And you see the memory, and PCIe is the actual slot where you fit the card into. So this is another, I have various graphs that I use to explain how the hardware works, and none of them gives any justice to the elegance of the actual chip that is actually very uniform and made in different stuff. But when I think about programming this chip, this is the probably warped image that I have in my mind. As you can see, we have the PCI where you get the host, we get a service processor that is the guy that controls everything, we get the compute shires, and that's where most of the 1,000 cores are. We even got 4 out of all the CPUs, and that's the last called Maxions, while the small shires are called Minion. And then you got various devices as everything goes. But the things you need to understand from this is that you get this huge array of CPUs that are small and in order, can be programmed, and then you get a service processor that controls everything. Right, so what's a Minion? Minion is one of the many 1,000 CPUs that we have, and essentially you can think of it as a very small RISC-V 64 CPU, so you actually have machine mode, supervisor mode, and user mode. It has various extensions that are very interesting, like particular atomics. It definitely has a SIMD instruction, so you can do fixed packed vector extensions. And you get actual tensor accelerator, so you actually do matrix multiplication. So it's actually quite powerful, and you got 1,000 of them. Right, So now that we saw how the hardware works, we can actually start understanding what is ET Platform. So ET Platform is a software, it's completely open source, it is on GitHub, and contains what you see here. Essentially contains everything to actually, if you have a card, run kernels on it, run software on these 1,000 CPUs, or if you don't have a card, you can even simulate it just to learn, to test, and to see how it works. Ideally, like going from higher level to lower level, you get the runtime library. The runtime library is the library that actually you interface, and the way you interface to the runtime library is that you program, you write a program, you compile it for these so small CPUs, you use the runtime library to load it into device RAM, and then you tell all the CPU, execute this program right now. And of course, the program can actually easily say, okay, if I'm CPU 1, I'm going to do job for CPU 1, and CPU 2, I'm going to do job for CPU 2. So that's the differentiation that you have, simplifying. The other things you will find in ET Platform is the device layer, which is the thing that abstracts the mechanism to have a device. And these allow us to run the same software for the compute shell, both on a simulator that you can just run in your computer, and the actual hardware that's going to use a Linux driver. And as I said, this is on GitHub. This is the software that you will find, as I said. You're going to find the runtime library, the device layer, the simulator, the Linux driver, but also the firmware. And this is what's funny. You will actually run the simulator, the firmware simulated, so you can actually even test the simulator for this very complex machine. And of course, everything is open source. Right, so this is what I wanted to do today. I wanted to be very precise on how to actually get, clone, compile, and run. First of all, I went the hard way because it's actually a Docker build, but that was too short of some slides, so I decided to actually use the full thing. There's definitely a Docker file. You definitely can look at iFoundry README for that. But anyway, the first step to actually compile everything, you need the GCC toolchain for the device. They have particular extension. And this is the step, as you can see, is usual RISC-V GNU toolchain, which is a very common way to deploy RISC-V toolchain in GNU. Right now it doesn't work, but we're going to fix it by the end of the week. It's not our problem, it's upstream. So yes, you're going to clone the RISC-V toolchain, and then this is essentially I'm assuming Ubuntu 24.04, but there are people that have been able to build and install this on Arch Linux and in other distribution, but Linux is necessary. There are patches to build this on macOS, but they're off-branch so far. So essentially, yeah, you build, these are the usual things required to build GCC. You configure and you build. You configure and make, and then you will actually have installing OptiT, as you can see, the full toolchain for Minion. That's all you need to do. Once you do the toolchain, you can actually start compiling ET Platform because you can start compiling the firmware. And, the first line is wrong. These slides are very fresh. So the first thing you need to do then is you actually need to clone ET Platform. And there's a README that explains even how to run with Docker, but you get the dependency, and then it's just a very normal CMake and build. The only thing that is different is that you need to tell him where to find the toolchain, and we just install it in OptiT. But that's pretty much it. The moment you do this, you're actually going to have everything that I described before, including the simulator and everything, but there's more, because once you compile, what you can do? Well, you can run tests. If you do in OptiT bin, you will find a lot of tests that actually stress the simulator. But if you just add dash dash mode equal PCIe, you're actually going to run this test on the card if you're lucky to have one. And actually, Roman might say something about how to access a card later. Exciting things, there's a full simulator already built and installed, and it's essentially the golden model for us. And you will find it there. I will tell you later how to run stuff on it. If you're actually interested in the firmware that actually runs on the real card, you will find it in opt.lib Esperanto firmware. And you can modify and compile it and test it on the simulator. Right. So what else can you do? Well, there's definitely an example kernel, which are usually very interesting to run with simulator just to see what happens. So you can just do in ET platforms, software sysemo examples. You type a make, and we should probably fix the make file, but you will actually find etsoc1 itself in this directory, in the build directory. And once you have that, you can actually run the simulator with this, and you actually see every single instruction and the register that it changed and how it works. So this is actually how you learn to do this, and that's actually how you can actually experiment, modify and experiment the test to see how it does. But you want to see actual kernels, and even like if they're simple, but we actually have a port with Llama CPP that it's a basic port, but it has a lot of kernels that actually work in order to be able to run a model. You can actually just, Foundry has this. You can just go to Foundry Llama CPP and you can just get Llama CPP and actually find in the GGML structure, in ET, GGML ET, you're going to find the kernels. You can actually see how this can actually be used in a proper system. Is it ETSOC 1 all? Well, not at all, because we're a very open company. And actually, ET Platform has already the simulator support for Erbium, which is our next chip. And so when you actually build ET Platform, you will build two simulators. One is SysEMU for ETSOC 1, the other is for Erbium. And Erbium is the next chip, and you can actually even run the Erbium test. Now, of course, what is Erbium? You would expect a slide from me, but I didn't do any because actually the whole spec, while we're developing the chip, is already there. So you actually go there and even get the reference manual directly from the hardware engineer working on it. So this is the basics, and the question is, how can you join? Because there's a lot going on. We're very open, and this gets everyone from people working on Llama CPP, on AI, on accelerator based on this 5, to actually people interested to see how does a firmware work and how do I handle a PCIe hardware. Well, we have this code. If you actually go to github.com/foundry.org, you'll find a Discord invite. You should join us. Honestly, it's very hard to keep up with the average intelligence of the people. I feel very stupid, but that's my life. And it's actually very interesting. There's discussion going on from compiler technology to whatever new is happening in the world of AI to how do I fix the Linux kernel, to people suggesting how to fix kernel drivers and everything else. And there's also another important thing. Every Tuesday, I think local time is 5 p.m., we actually have an ET Platform call in which you'll find a lot of Ineco and other engineers just joining and discussing about technology, what's our plan, what's happening in the process, and what people can help, what people are doing. And it's a completely open source project. It's completely open. And you'll learn a lot just by being there. At least I did. And yes, so you actually can go to the event calendar in Discord and you'll see it. And as I said, when we say the ET Platform is open source, we actually mean it. That's it for me. Are there any questions? Please.
A quick question. Is the new Erbium platform or the chip RBA 23 compatible?
No, absolutely not. Oh, so the question is the new Erbium chip, RBA 23, compatible? Absolutely not. That's why I linked the spec. No, the new Erbium chip is actually, if you see the way technically it's so-called a neighborhood. So essentially 8 of this minion with all the things, so it's still like the same architecture with some errata fixed here and there, and then 24 megabytes of memory. And then it's actually, we'll have a dual mode of operation. One is as a small microcontroller, so with some GPIO, Quad SPI, and various things. Or as a slave device that actually has Octo Hyperbus interface for memory. So it will be a smart memory with enough compute. Please.
Yeah, I have a question about the
Yes. We do have the hardware, the chip exists. You saw the picture, right? So the way it works is that definitely we're not selling it so far. We do have access for the community, for people that are involved in community, can actually SSH the machine in San Francisco. Hopefully we're going to bring it on the other side of Atlantic. And it's part of the community access to actually experiment. So it doesn't include, does the emulator include performance models? It's definitely an emulator that was used both to simulate correctly, but if you see the dash L that I add, you actually get the trace used by DV. So actually you can see clock by clock how it changed. It's not cycle accurate, but it's mostly a way to actually measure that the behavior of the chip is exactly the same as the behavior of the thing. So there was him.
My question is, I mean, Cerebras built a chip with 900,000 cores.
Yeah.
It's a horrible monster.
It yeah.
It doesn't work, but is that really the way to go?
We're not building 900 cores, right? Sorry, no. How many cores? Yeah, we're not building 900,000 cores, right? Well, no, we're starting by 8, and then we'll grow slowly. No, it's up to where we want to go. Essentially, this is probably the CTO is better equipped to answer that question, but I can if you want. We're going for inference, and we're going for the middle market. I'm actually here for the blinking light, so you can speak with him. I like to say that I'm here for the blinking light and not for the business, because I prefer talking about problems than actual selling something. So. Anyone else? Please.
How about the performance of Llama CPP in terms of open per second do you get on your data?
That's a very good question. As I said, it's a simple port. So the question is, what are the performance of Llama CPP on ETSOC 1? They can go very well. The chip is definitely fast. Llama CPP is not, because this was a demo for us to show that we use the Llama CPP as a way to show, and it was quite hard at the time, to actually show that the software stack we were building actually could compile and work on the real card. So Llama CPP was actually a way for us to not only learn, but also see that using the highest possible level software stack, we could actually work it. It's quite interesting, because if you see how the kernels are worked, we actually wanted to stress the fact that this was a CPU, because these are CPUs, they're not accelerators, right? And so we actually wrote it like we wrote C, and it just worked, because we wanted to be sure of that. There are effort in the community, and people are happy to join. There's definitely an effort going on right now for actually writing optimized kernel, and of course we started from Matpool. Anyone else? I think we're done.
Thank you.